I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Last Sunday, we saw how true serving is about saving, which is brought about, as Noah showed us, by sincere caring and concern and compassion. Well, let's pick it up from there, because you see this stuff here? It just might require confrontation, confession, apologies, forgiveness, and restoration. So here's the question out of the gate. Where won't you follow Jesus? And let me answer that for you, for all of us, actually. It's where we don't want to go. That's where we don't follow Jesus. Where we don't want to go to face what we don't want to face in order to do what we don't want to do, right? And this is, it's far more about situations and circumstances than physical places when it comes to following Jesus. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it is a physical place. Remember when Peter put his foot down, I'm not following you, not only refused to follow Jesus, but then tried to convince Jesus that he had the destination wrong, right? Jesus began to show to his disciples, show, which means in Scripture. He began to show in Scripture to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and be raised the third day. Well, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Because he's like, do you not see the simple solution? You won't need to be raised if you don't die. You won't die if you don't go to Jerusalem and suffer. Right? But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Why? Well, because you're not mindful of the things of God that he was showing him in the Word. You know, Jesus is saying, how dare you say I shall not suffer and die? Can't you see it right there in Scripture? But from Peter's perspective, Jesus is going the wrong way. Because Peter wasn't paying attention to the Scriptures that Jesus just showed them. And how can we follow the Lord if we won't even listen to him? If you actually read the Bible, a lot of scary stuff in there about what God does to make us grow and what he allows. But at the Last Supper, Peter kind of came to his senses. His heart was there. And Peter asked him, Lord, where are you? Where are you going? You know, Jesus replied, because now, okay, I don't want to be Satan anymore. I'll go wherever you're going. Jesus replied, getting ahead of him, where I'm going, you, Peter, you cannot follow now. You know, your faith just isn't strong enough in the Scripture. But you will follow later. And Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will, and this is such an ironic statement, I will lay down my life for you. This is the night before Jesus lays down his life for everyone. And Jesus answered, you know, Peter, you're so cute. Jesus says, will you really lay down your life for me? The answer was no, not yet, but later he will. Then he says, I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times, which he sadly, exactly, regretfully did, because he didn't commit the truth to his heart, that Jesus just spoke. There's the words, put them in your heart. But he didn't, in one ear and out the other for now, because Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl, I love that it's a girl, came up, oh, Peter, came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway to get away, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath, like he swore, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, right? Your accent gives you away. Then, oh my goodness, he began to call down curses on himself. And he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered. Oh, because he didn't commit it to his heart. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. And he went outside and wept bitterly because Jesus was right on. He wept bitterly. You know what that is, weeping bitterly? That's when you're crying because you hate yourself, as opposed to like crying because you feel sorry for yourself, crying because you're mourning or grieving. It's you hate yourself. And so he wept bitterly. So what do? We've got to treasure up God's word in our heart to prepare our faith for the battle whenever and however and through whomever it comes. So where are you not prepared to follow Jesus? That's the real question. Because like Peter, we all follow him anywhere. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, go say sorry to that person. Them? They need to say sorry to me first. But when does submission seem too risky or unfair or unreasonable from your perspective? You know? I've warned you in the past that sin will always take you further than you want to go. Right? Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Three truths about sin. This isn't a sermon on sin. I bring that up because I should probably also warn you that the same exact thing goes for Jesus. Jesus will take you further than you want to go. And he will definitely keep you longer than you want to stay. And he will charge you more than you want to surrender and pay, which is why we're warned throughout Scripture to count the cost, because there's a cost. Count the cost to follow the one who paid the price, because his love is too fierce and his plan too immense to leave us where we are. Amen? Amen. Amen. Not going to do it. So pick your poison. Or make your poison your medicine. Take a good hard look at yourself. And go to God's word and prepare your heart with his word. And then take heart, because unlike sin, oh, the places that he's planning to take you, he may take you further you want to go, keep you longer you want to stay, charge you more you want to pay, but those places he's planning to take you will satisfy and gratify and purify and beautify you far more than our small, self-centered perspectives can imagine or desire, because, well, he just has to crucify us in the process. What, did I leave that out of the passage? I guess we better go back and reread. He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. His cross. What do you think they thought he was thinking? Because this is well before the cross was a thing like it is for us. We look in hindsight, we go, oh, the cross. He hadn't gone to the cross. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Knowing humans, I'm pretty sure I know what they must have been thinking. Well, he can't mean a cross. I wonder what he means. Because you and I, we try to convince ourselves that Jesus can't mean whatever scary thing he's asking. That deep down, we know he means that he wants us to do. And so, I don't know, we try to convince ourselves he doesn't mean that. But we know he does. We do this whenever the path that leads us to life passes through suffering and death. By crucifixion, no less, right? They didn't say we have to be crucified. It's said more than once in the New Testament. Keep in mind, however, that he died for our sin, whereas we must die to our sin. So our cross is very different from his cross, but it's still a cross to bear because we must die to self. Nothing about that line sounds pleasant, does it? No, that just sounds painful. It's right out of scripture. Let's read it together. We must die to self. You can put all the hearts and flowers around that you want, but it still says you got to die to yourself. So is that what you signed up for? You go, no, I just want to go to heaven. Well, as Jesus said, he's the door, the only way and truth and life, and no one comes to our Father any other way. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice in my word, and they follow me. That's how you know if it's your sheep. It's not like his sheep have a choice in the matter, because he also said, whoever serves me must follow me. But he adds on in Mark, whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will actually save it in a big way. Right? But warning, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me, his cross, you didn't say, take his cross. Your cross will be different from Jesus' cross. Whoever doesn't take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Follow someone else. Because Jesus says, I'm going to the cross. So how much are you willing to risk for Jesus? That's the perfect answer. All of it. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get to the point where I can say all of it. I'm closer than I was last year, but I'm not there yet. Will you follow when he takes you further than you want to go? I hope like a step, right? Just progress. That's all he's looking for. Will you remain when he keeps you longer than you want to stay? Just, you know, a few minutes at first. Just something that's growth. And will you give when he asks for more than you want to surrender? We prefer to play it safe with our faith. And Jesus hates that. Oh, I mean, if you've read his story, he hates playing it safe. Won't allow it because it prevents us from growing, from building trust. So how often do your fears overpower your obedience? If you're anything like the rest of us, the answer is too often. Too often. We got to fix that. Got to work on that. But don't worry. Jesus has a way of scaring us straight. This isn't talked about a lot, but you're going to hear it today because I think we would be shocked to see how many of the scariest moments in our lives thus far were allowed, if not arranged, for the eternal best of all involved. Remember when Jesus commanded the boys to cross the lake to face a terrifying storm, only to then be terrified by Jesus' power and authority over the storm? It went from one terror to the next. Jesus gave orders. He gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning from Jesus, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. An obvious giveaway that this is a test, right? Jesus, how many times is Jesus sleeping on the job? Never. Unless the job is sleeping on the job. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples finally decided they can do it on their own. See, he's got to wear us down. And they finally stopped manning the oars, right? The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're going to drown! Maybe you should have woke me, right before that moment. Seems their terror finally forced them, though, to turn to him as their only hope. And so, well, he got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, I think, to the wind, and be still to the waves. It's my favorite one. The wind, great, it stops. But it's the waves that terrify them, because wind can stop. How many times do you see waves just collapse flat? They don't. It's against the laws of physics. And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Just, whoa. Well, now they're terrified of Jesus, which is why he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? I just fixed it. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? What? Do you still have no faith? Wow. Well, at this point, they were still terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Yeah, it's only us free willers who don't, right? We got the free will, which is why he purposely places us in the path of storms. He's teaching us. He's training us. He's strengthening us. He's developing us. And that all requires the storms of life. And so just to recap and be clear, he justifies, he sanctifies, and he terrifies. That's our Jesus. Remember when Jonah went the opposite direction when the Lord sent him to go and try and save his enemies? Yeah, who wants to do that? So the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up, because that's what it often takes to get our full attention. And I'll tell you, our full attention really pleases our Father. And according to Psalm 135, the Lord does whatever pleases him, and that means getting our full attention. And we don't make that easy on him. The Lord does whatever pleases him on the seas and in their depths. Oh yeah, he sends the lightning if need be with the rain, you know, and releases the wind from his storehouses. He can do that. Do you remember the second time he sent the boys out on the same lake to face a similar storm, but this time all alone without Jesus in the boat? Yeah, Jesus made them. He made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. And then he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, where he would have a good view. And this is what he saw. When evening came, what's evening? 6 o'clock-ish, something like that? When evening came, the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So what did Jesus do? He waited about 4 to 6 more hours. During the fourth watch of the night, that's 3 to 6 a.m., Jesus went out to them. Wait, that's more than 4 to 6. That's like 10 hours. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. You don't think he knows the effect this is going to have on them? He knows what he's doing. Jesus went out to them. He's getting ready to just scare the pants off of them, which is funny because they didn't wear pants. Okay. scare their dress up? I don't know. But they didn't call it a dress. That's the wrong word. I can't remember what it's called. Okay. Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him, guess what? They were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out. Yeah, likely to the Lord to save us. They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, don't take courage. Take courage. It is I. It is I. Don't be afraid. This is all me. Well, now I'd be terrified. And so Peter says famously, Lord, if it's you, and that if is like since it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Why does he say tell me to? Why doesn't he just do it? Because Peter knows what each of us needs to learn. If Jesus commands it, it's doable. Come. he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water. The wind is still going. The waves are still going. And Peter's walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But, and in context, you can see, Jesus cranked things up. And when Peter saw the wind, it literally saw the wind's might. Something changed. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. Oh, he's proud of Peter. "You have little faith. Ask yourself, why did you doubt? Peter, why did you doubt? How much wind is too much wind?" But you know Jesus has got to be proud of Peter, right? I mean, this is an incredible moment. And if you'll recall, in the first storm, he called them of no faith. But now Peter's of little faith. It's like a dad calling his son, "Little man, come here, little man." This is not an insult. Go, Peter, little faith, little faith. Whether he's sending him into a storm, amping up the wind, or appearing as a ghost, he's purposely doing what a loving Savior does with little free willers who tend to forget to cry out to our Father. What's he doing? Giving them a reason to cry out to their Father. Don't write off the whole ghost thing as like, "Oh, they're so superstitious back then." The first terrifying storm ended on the hillside shore where a terrifying legion, there was actually three terrors that night, the terrifying legion of screaming demons possessed a herd of suicidal swine that drowned themselves in this lake. I mean, my goodness, if this is legion coming back for revenge and Jesus isn't in the boat, it would be just another day on the job with Jesus. So let's give the boys a break. They don't know what to expect, except that he will do all he can to help us to find the end of ourselves. Because we almost always need a little nudge. And by little, I mean big. Because we tie his hands until we surrender to his will and cry out for his help, which you won't do unless you go further than you want and stay longer than you want and try to give more than you want. That's when you'll cry out. And it is not enough to just cry out to Jesus in the no faith boat. That's a good start. But eventually, each one of us, we got to take courage and ask him to lead us to leave the boat, to come to him on the water. Imagine Peter taking that first crazy heart-stopping step out of the boat, right? And after that, it's not like it ends there, because after that, it's an ongoing matter of just keeping your eyes on Jesus. I've often wondered, how far, where'd the water come up to? You know, his ankles, his knees, is he sloshing through? I don't know. But he's keeping his eyes on Jesus till he isn't. And then it's all about crying out to him the moment that our eyes drift away from him. You know, most of you know what it's like to walk on water and then all of a sudden, you know, with confidence, and then all of a sudden get really scared, like you think you're going to go under. Most of you have done that, right? The answer is yes. Have you ever confidently walked on water when it's ice? You know, frozen lake, frozen slough, frozen pond. You ever confidently walked on water till you hear it crack? And even if you know it is plenty thick to support your weight, there is just a natural reflexive terror that courses through the veins. That happened to me growing up many times on the slough right down there, including once when I fell through and lived to tell about it. Shouldn't be a surprise. This is what it's like to be led by the Lord to all the confrontation and confession and apologies and forgiveness and restoration that he expects, demands from his followers. But take heart, faith is all about taking that first step in building confidence and keeping your eyes on Jesus and crying out when you hear the ice crack. All he needs are little mustard seeds of faith, because the critical factor in faith isn't its size or its power, but its object. Focus on Jesus, and you will remain faithful. Let your eyes wander, and you're sunk. Peter's only problem that day was he let the wind distract him from the one who made the wind. And I don't blame him. I've stepped out in faith, you know, that list I showed you, I've stepped out in faith doing those things many times. And then it didn't go the way I thought it should go, and heard the ice crack and had that sinking feeling and took my eyes off Jesus and didn't follow through. But then that is all part of the master plan. We're all growing up together. Matthew, who never got out of the boat, also wrote, and when they, Peter and Jesus, when they climbed back into the boat, oh, that's when the wind died down. Jesus could have calmed the water before Peter walked on it, right? But where's the fun in that? Or the triumph, or the growth, or gain, or glory? Jesus wants to walk us through the storms, because with Jesus, and you need to know this about Jesus, you're Jesus. With Jesus, it's all about the adventure of training and stretching and testing. You forget he sees things from the other side. I gotta wonder if Peter looked at the others, you know, when he got back in the boat and just was so proud, looked at the others and said, I'm of little faith. To all the no-faithers in the boat. So let's just face it. You can't play it safe and follow Jesus. He won't allow it. You'll never build trust or develop your faith. So where won't you follow Jesus? How much you're willing to risk? Peter would call it leaving the boat. I think Jesus calls it just another day on the job. So don't let fear overpower your obedience. Get out of the boat. Take a walk on the water and have a little faith. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you and seek you to follow you with all our heart. Holy Spirit, show us where you want us to go and then inspire us to get out of the boat. Lord Jesus, whatever you ask us to do, we know we can do because our trust is in you. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.